J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
So, I'm a big fan of Bob and Ray. Those of you who are probably under the age of 35 probably don't know about Bob and Ray, but you do know about Chris Elliott from The Late Show with David Letterman. Chris Elliott, the guy under the seats and all that kind of stuff, the regulator guy and all that stuff that he used to do on Letterman. And, of course, he had a show called Get a Life. He's been in a bunch of movies like Cabin Boy and There's Something About Mary and all those kinds of things. And his father was the Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding, who did these two spots. They're called in comedy, so like the Smothers Brothers or Martin and Lewis or something like that. And they sort of specialized in like big old white guys who are on radio or TV or in an interview situation and something sort of goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And it gets funnier and funnier, and they just sort of specialized in that kind of humor. And they were amazingly funny guys. Ray Goulding died about 5 or 6 years ago. Bob Elliott is still around. He still pops up from time to time. But in any event, something happened last night on Channel 9 that was as funny as anything these guys have ever done. You have your show, Donnybrook. Martin Dugan. Hi, Ray Hartman. Are you outraged? And then when that show's over, then they put two of the people from the panel in front of a camera, and they just take phone calls for a half an hour. Exciting TV, taking phone calls on television. So our buddies, Mark Vittert and Bill McClellan, who are both good guys and friends of the show, and we are on very good terms with them. I'm sure that they wouldn't mind us playing this today. The show opens up, as you'll hear, and it's just nice to hear somebody else have the kinds of problems that I've frequently had when working in radio, but to have them on TV. This goes about a minute 40. Enjoy. This is last night's Your Turn, following Donnybrook on Channel 9 in St. Louis.
Good evening. Welcome to Donnybrook, Your Turn. I'm Bill McClellan, along with Mark Vittert, here to hear what you have to say about the issues we've discussed today.
Why don't we go right to Evelyn from Webster Groves. Evelyn, are you there? Evelyn, go right on ahead. Go right on ahead, ma'am. Evelyn, are you there? Yeah, I think
okay.
Evelyn.
Okay, Evelyn, let's try it again. Maybe call
Hello.
Back.
Oh,
you're there? Okay.
Hello.
Go ahead, Evelyn. Go ahead,
yes,
Evelyn.
I'm here.
Go
okay.
Right ahead.
You're not hearing me?
Yeah, we're hearing you now, Evelyn.
Go ahead, Evelyn. Evelyn, you need to turn your television off if you're listening to
Hi.
It. Okay.
I would like to just say, I'm sorry.
Evelyn, you need to turn your television off if you want to talk.
For some reason, I'm not getting through.
Okay, Evelyn.
Can
okay.
you hear me?
Yes, Evelyn, try
you
to say
it. Can you
hear
me at all?
Yes, we hear you now, Evelyn, so tell us what you want to say.
Hello?
Okay, yes. Evelyn, try to call back. Try to call back if you would. Yeah, try to call back, Evelyn. We'll be here waiting for you.
Yeah.
And let's go to Bill from Carrollton. Bill, are you there? Bill from Carrollton. Bill from Carrollton. Are you there? Well, Bill, if you're calling from Carrollton, Illinois, that's a town I spent some time in and sure liked a lot. I hope are we with you at all? Bill, try okay. and call back if you can from Carrollton, and we'll go to Henry from St. Louis. Henry, are you there?
I
swear to God, I got pits. My God. And then he goes,
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over.
It is Tuesday, March 12, 2024. How are you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. Yes, it's very, very important that the guys in the control room, in the, you know, all the technicians sitting there in that very, very dark room with all those television monitors and all those buttons and dials and everything like that. Very, very important that one button on the control board is pushed in. And if that button isn't pushed in, what you just heard happens. Oh, man. Haven't heard that in a long time. Really, really cracks me up. Well, here we are with another beautiful day in the short term. This is just fantastic. Everybody is enjoying this wonderful weather. It's going to change here over the course of the next 24, 36 hours. And on Thursday, they're talking about a severe weather day. So we'll see. They got one of those bullseyes, you know, right over the state of Missouri, especially right in the midsection of Missouri. And then that's a level two area. And then we get into a level one over in St. Louis. But no. You can't help but have this little thing going on in the back of your mind where you're like, this is great. This is wonderful. I love this weather. We're just coming off the warmest year in history. We're coming off the warmest February since they've been keeping records all the way back in the 1870s, which, you know, Carl Sagan would have told you, and now the sort of heir apparent to the Carl Sagan dynasty, the scientist that comes on and tries to explain things in terms that we can understand. Because if you can imagine the existence of Earth and the universe and stuff like that on a 24-hour clock, the amount of time that we as human beings have been on the planet is about one tick, 1 second. So, you know, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, we only have records back to the 1870s. That's almost insignificant, but it's all we have. It's all we have, and that's all we can go by. And by that record of things, we just came off the warmest February in the history of the planet. You think the pandemic was fun? Wait till there's no fucking water and no food. And there are people who still attach the word hoax whenever climate change is being discussed. Those people are usually in the hip pockets of the gas and oil companies. Got a little experience with that because I ran into a lot of that stuff when I lived in Houston for about a year and a half. And you started to look around going, whoa, this is way out of whack here. And the politicians in Texas, there's an old saying, you got to know what side of the bread the butter's on. And those guys definitely do. And so what is the sum total of all of this? It is that not a goddamn thing is going to change. And according to the scientists and the climatologists and the people who study this sort of stuff, you know, who went to school, got an amazing education about stuff like this and spent their whole lives dedicated to studying things so they can give you the best take. Maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, we don't know, but it is the best take that we have based on the available information. And according to that, we're going to reach a point here in the not too distant future where it's going to be too late to turn this thing around. And so I hate to be a wet blanket. I hate to be, you know, the turd in the punch bowl. But, you know, I just see these incredibly warm temperatures and these wild swings in weather. And nobody's doing much. Oh, they have these, you know, climate meetings and these accords and things like that. And little things are being done. And I guess it's better that we do something rather than nothing, but not enough. And you do have to wonder if at some point, one day, the scientists step forward and say, okay, well, we reached critical mass on this whole thing, and yeah, it's all downhill. We can't turn it around now. There's nothing we can do. And so, over the course of the next 20 or 30 years, the planet's going to slowly burn out, and we, as the human race, are going to burn out with it. Or if not that, maybe big chunks of the human race. As we speak right now, these hearings are going on Capitol Hill. Special Counsel Robert Hur testifying on Capitol Hill. And oh, good look, it's Matt Gaetz' turn.
With your ghostwriter, the president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie, is just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right? Because what you put in your report was among the places Mr. Biden's lawyers found classified documents
and
in the garage,
Matt Gaetz would know too, wouldn't he? He would know. even know what lying is all about. All right, Sunshine 76 in Florida today. Cards got thumped by the Nats 11-4 yesterday. Matt Liberatore gets the start today against the Boston Red Sox in Fort Myers. At least we're going there, and they're not coming to Jupiter. It was one of the most unpleasant days ever down in Jupiter a couple of years ago, and I had heard that there were problems when the Boston Red Sox were in town, and they weren't making it up either, because what happens is the fans from Boston descend on Jupiter and sort of seem to be taking a degree of glee in taking the place over, like, okay, we're from Boston, everybody get the fuck out of the way, here we come, as opposed to showing up and going, oh, we're going to check out your ballpark, we want to see everything here. There's just like there's a snotty fucking attitude from those Bostonians. Blues, speaking of Boston, beat Boston 5-1 last night. That snaps a three-game losing streak. You got to wonder how much more time has to elapse before they really start breaking this team up. Mizzou, Georgia tonight. And then there's the issue of Kevin Demoff. Now, some people will remember his name. Sports fans, football fans especially, will remember. Kevin Demoff, when the Rams were here, was a Stan Kroenke's, I guess you would say, right-hand man. Well, the Rams were heavily rumored to be leaving the St. Louis area, and there were St. Louis area sportscasters, radio and TV, that were still, you know, telling all of us that there's a possibility the Rams were going to stay in St. Louis. And, oh, we got this blueprints going down now for the new stadium and everything. And, of course, I was in sports radio at the time, and I said, it ain't happening. The Rams are gone. And these guys are telling me, you're not even a real sports guy. And besides, I talked to Kevin Demoff yesterday, and he said they're looking over the blueprints and no decisions have been made and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, you have to understand something, though. Kevin Demoff, the very existence of Kevin Demoff is there so that Stan Kroenke doesn't have to talk to anybody, and he's got somebody who can just lie right through his teeth. In other words, Kevin Demoff's job is to mislead you. And then you go on the air, and then you mislead us because you're dealing with faulty information. Well, how do you know? You don't know anything, JC. You don't know anything. You're just guessing. You got a 50-50 chance of being right, so you're guessing that they're leaving. And then if they leave, you can say, see, I told you so. And I said, no, actually, that's not the case. Because, and I don't think I've ever told this story before, but when I went to Houston, you know, because I was in St. Louis living in Chesterfield, and we were renting a house. And we were renting a house because I didn't know how much longer I was going to be able to stay in St. Louis, and things were drying up, and I didn't really know what was going to come down on this. So it was like, I want to get out of this house we're in now because it's way too big, and I want to downsize. And so we found this place in Chesterfield that was for rent. And it was a great house in a terrific neighborhood, because a lot of times you think of rentals in terms of, oh boy, not much luxury here in these rental properties. But I don't know, we just got lucky and we found this house in Chesterfield. And so we rented it, got out from under that really, really heavy mortgage, and moved into this house, and we were there for a couple of years. Well, lo and behold, I find the job in Houston. Nobody would hire me in St. Louis. It's overqualified for most things that became available. Not that much became available anyhow. Why the hell is my phone going off like this? This thing has dinged probably a dozen times now. What on earth is happening? It's from my baseball team. You get those group texts. It's like 17 guys on my baseball team, and usually by midweek, that's what happens. They're like, okay, you know, we got a game on Sunday, 9 a.m. Who's going to be there? Who isn't? And then, like, for the next hour, ding, 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 because 17 guys are all checking in and all making jokes and then responding to one another's jokes. And when you're trying to do something other than be on the phone, like, oh, for example, record a podcast, damn thing keeps going off. And where was I? Oh, yeah, anyhow, back to my Rams moving story. Anyhow, so they're all like pointing a finger at me like, oh, you're full of shit. You don't know what you're talking about. But anyhow, back to this house in Chesterfield. So we're living in this house. I end up taking the job in Houston. We leave the house in Chesterfield. And the people who occupy the house after we leave, one of the coaches of the Rams. And I can't really say too much above and beyond that. But let's just say there was information being shared. And then we have a family friend whose daughter was an employee at Rams Park. And she told us twice. They're leaving. We know they're leaving. Everybody's getting their resumes ready. A lot of us have been offered jobs in Los Angeles if we want to relocate. So I got to look for a job because, you know, my friends, my family, everything I got is here and I won't be going to L.A. So I got to find a new job. So the combination of information, then there was a third source, too, that I can't really go into. So, you know that character that David Spade plays sometimes? Like, he did it in the Coneheads movie, but he also played the character on Saturday Night Live. And it was like, I think it started as he was Dick Clark's receptionist at Dick Clark Enterprises headquarters or something like that. Yeah, just have a seat. He's really busy right now. In other words, he's there to run interference. That's what Kevin Demoff is. He was there to mislead everybody. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And it's like anything else. You can suppress information, but usually it's going to leak out. And St. Louis was just in total denial because they couldn't believe that we would lose another football team. It was just like beyond anybody's ability to comprehend, and so people didn't talk about it that way. They kept entertaining this idea that the Rams would stay. The Rams were gone. And then a lot of those sportscasters, by the way, really thumbed their noses at me after the Rams made the formal announcement that they were leaving, and I would just sort of like make eye contact with people in various situations, and they would just give me this eye roll like, oh, fuck you. I bring all of this up because Rams president Kevin Demoff is being named president of team and media operations for Kroenke Sports Entertainment. Demoff is now the first executive to run four professional sports teams as we watch the scum rise to the top. A poll found the average March Madness fan will dedicate 36 hours to it this year. That includes things like 3 hours of filling out brackets, 13 hours of watching the games, and another 5 hours just watching highlights. A couple of years back, they started in with this business about vasectomies during the Final Four. You know, some guys like, you're a vasectomy, but you know, you got to sit on a bag of ice for like 48 hours, and I just can't stop my life to do that. And so they end up putting off their vasectomies. And I don't know who started this, who invented the idea, but somebody said, well, here's what you do. You get the vasectomy done the weekend of the Final Four, because all you're going to do is sit on the couch and watch nonstop basketball for an entire weekend. And so kill two birds with one stone. Get your vasectomy like on Friday. Get your bag of ice, sit there, watch football all weekend long while you're sitting on your bag of ice waiting for your sack to heal. Oh, and everybody was making a big deal earlier this week over the announcement that Jake Paul is going to fight Mike Tyson. And now it turns out they're going to wear headgear and they're going to use 18-ounce gloves during their fight this summer. And people are like, that's not a fight. That's not real boxing. First of all, you can't wear headgear because then that's sparring. And if you're using different gloves, that's sparring. And this is bullshit. Save your money. We lost another rock, or I guess we should say in this case, pop music icon, Eric Carmen, who was the lead singer of the Raspberries, Go All the Way, Please Go All the Way. And a couple of solo hits all by myself, and then from Dirty Dancing, he had Hungry Eyes. He was 74. He died over the weekend. Eric Carmen, no longer with us. People still talking about John Cena's appearance, and it's funny because all the newbies are on social media yesterday. Well, why was this necessary? I don't even know why they did it. And it's like, well, if you were paying attention, then you would know why they did it, because it was the 50th anniversary of The Streaker. The Streaker ran out there while actor David Niven was making an announcement, making some sort of an awards presentation. And it was like, you know, one of those famous television moments. And whenever they do these retrospectives of television, or especially Oscar moments, that's usually number one, because you got a naked guy run out on stage during the whole streaking thing back in the, what was the late 60s? Even Ray Stevens, who I think still has a theater in Branson, did that. So, well, they call it the streak, Ethel! And this was the 50th anniversary of it, so that's why they did it. Oh. And he wasn't even naked, by the way. There were some shots that are popping up on the internet now where you can see they had this plastic thing around him. You wouldn't have been able to see anything, even if he dropped that giant envelope. Al Pacino's presentation is being criticized, and he finally stepped forward and said, look, this is what they told me to do. They told me not to read all 10 movies. We had highlighted throughout the course of the show all 10 movies. And so all we were doing now, it's like, you know them, you've been watching the show, Oppenheimer's going to win anyhow. So they said, go out there and just follow the script. And the script did not include a recap of all 10 movies. So he did what he did, and he made the announcement. He walked off the stage and the show was over, and that's that. He didn't do anything wrong. And it wasn't a mistake. There's a lot of people waiting for This Is Spinal Tap, the sequel. They're shooting it in New Orleans right now. Guest stars in the movie will include Questlove, Trisha Yearwood, Garth Brooks, Paul McCartney, and Elton John. There's going to be a tribute to Jimmy Buffett on April 11th, Hollywood Bowl. Paul McCartney and the Eagles are involved, along with some country stars. Now it seems like almost everybody in show business, especially the really cool people, all want to be in this Only Murders in the Building, Season 4. Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez, Meryl Streep. They just made an announcement of somebody else the other day. I forget who it was. Now Zach Galifianakis is going to join in. He'll be a member of the cast for Season 4. Birthdays today, Aaron Eckhart, who played Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight and was also Aaron Brockovich's boyfriend in Aaron Brockovich, opposite Julia Roberts, is 56. James Taylor, 76. Mitt Romney, 77. Liza Minnelli, 78. And Daryl Strawberry. Daryl fucking Strawberry. This guy. I have a number of friends who know him, and they're like, you got him all wrong. He's really a good guy. On and on and on and on. All I know is this guy said he used to have sex between innings. I don't know where the girls were coming from or where they were keeping him or how this all worked, but it's like, all right, here's a swing and a ground ball over to third, over to first. There it is in the third, and we go to the fourth inning. Mets are losing 3-1. Daryl Strawberry goes in the clubhouse, and he's getting boinked. Well, he's 62 today, and he's still pond scum.
44,000 last night on hand, another big crowd. Amazing, we had so many people come up and just talk about, like, you are born into Cardinal Nation. You've had so many teammates and buddies that played here and played, lived here. You know what this is like. This is unique here.
This is what is expected out of a St. Louis Cardinal fan here in St. Louis. You dress red, white, or baby blue game day.
Diehards. I used to come in here with the Mets back in the late 80s, and they referred to us as pond scum. That was quite a rivalry, especially when Keith Hernandez came from the Cardinals.
Right, right.
And went to the Mets.
Oh, you were at Old Bush when it was turf.
Yes.
It was hot in the summer, too.
And those teams could fly. Pond scum doesn't run as quickly as some of those Cardinals teams, does it?
Does not.
Ron Darling in there on ESPN. It's amazing how often the pond scum thing still rises to the surface in all the places it still pops up. And then we have birthday number 71 for Ron Jeremy. Now, let me just tell you something. Back in the 80s, I remember the porn being very primitive. It was all shot on film. It was, production values were not usually very good. Editing was awful. You could tell that the reaction shots, the close-ups, were all faked, and they were all done separate from the actual boinking. And so nothing matched up. It was really, really sloppy, poorly lit porn. And in those days, too, people did not shave their genital areas. You look at that stuff now because there are websites, and even you go to Pornhub or something like that, and you go to Vintage, and all that stuff is there, and you can watch it, and it just looks awful compared to what we have today, which is really, really well lit. The women are much more attractive, generally speaking. I don't think the guys are. I think the guys are still really, really scuzzy looking. And the women aren't much better, but they're, you know, you've got some women in porn that are just too good to be true. This is chick's name, Autumn Falls or something. And I remember hearing in the porn industry, somebody said, we got this rising star. We got this guy who's coming up in the business, and he is going to be a major star. Oh, really? What's his name? Ron Jeremy. And so you would see him and go, what's the big deal? Well, he had a little more personality than a lot of the porn guys. And they would put him in situations where I guess he would, you know, my recollection is that he would seem like he was having a really good time. Now, of course, he was having a good time. He was getting laid. But he was making jokes and everything. And people were like, oh, this guy's really funny. This guy's got so much personality. Plus, he's got a huge cock and he is going to be a star. But I think you're right. I think you've pegged this guy. Oh, bad choice of words. I think you've characterized this guy properly. He's going to be a big star. And he was. He was. He was in every fucking movie. And then he got old. He got fat. And I mean really fat. Then he started getting in trouble with the law. In 1990, we had him on the air from our Grammy broadcast. We were in Los Angeles and they brought him in and it was like, sure, yeah, get Ron Jeremy over here. And so we talked to him, and then we had him again years later when we were doing the morning show at K-Hits. This guy starred in 1,600 of your favorite porn movies. Ron Jeremy. Today, our JC A-List interview of the week.
And now there's a new book called The Hardest or The Hardest Working Man in Show Business. There's something in parentheses there. It's a very interesting picture section because you're in there with everybody from Brad Pitt to Carrot Top and every stop along the way. Do you ever get the sensation that people are just sort of basking in your reflected glory? It's like, hey, I'm not built like that, but I'm standing next to somebody who is?
Yeah, Brad Pitt loses sleep every night that he hasn't gotten. He goes, they don't give up all my good looks to have that just one day with that schmeckle.
Ron, you know? How old were you, and can you remember the moment when you were probably a kid, I guess, when you realized that you were, shall we say, different?
It's a funny story. I was 15 years old. I was in Boy Scout camp, and I was tying up my high boots, and I realized that I could actually kiss where the sun don't shine. So I called my dad on the telephone. And it's a true story. I said, Dad, can a guy do that? I felt like I could do that. He goes, is anybody else in the room with you? No. He goes, well, may I suggest you don't tell too many people about this? Let me be the only person you tell the story to. Because it's nothing bad, but it's just a little weird.
Yeah.
Well, so when you get to be 18 years of age, the girls are going to kiss it for you.
Mm.
So just let it go and worry about it when you're older.
This true did not story. Run in the family? There's nobody else? You don't have, like, brothers?
Yeah, or... family. But look, when we were little kids, we always would go to the bathroom in front of each other as little kids, you know, so I think the family's a little bit endowed, yes.
Yeah. In the pre-Viagra days, everybody's sort of been there. You're tired, you're worried about something else going on, and even with a fluffer, yeah, sometimes things don't work or
right.
Didn't work.
I'm going to be radio savvy. Yes. They don't rise to the occasion.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon.
How radio savvy of me.
Yeah, and now you've got a half a dozen at least people, sound guys, light guys, everybody said, guys running the camera, the whole thing, standing sure. around waiting for you, and what did you do?
And an idiot director will go, we're losing daylight. We're losing daylight. A smart director like me will tell the actor, look, relax. There's no pressure. Just do the soft core, huggy, kissy, romantic stuff. We'll get to the hardcore whenever you're ready.
Mm.
You take the pressure off the guy. You get these idiot directors to go, guys, come on, man. We're losing time, man. We got to hurry. Come on. Yeah, that'll work on a schmeckle. Yeah, that'll work. Because, again, why do you think there's so few actors that lasted so many years? Like myself, Peter North, Randy West, Tom Byron. There's only a handful of us lasted 20 years.
Don't say a handful.
Because it was hard to do. Yeah, right, yeah. All these other guys would come along and couldn't do it.
Yeah, because they're constantly changing the women who are in the movies, but it's the
right,
guys.
Right, but the same guys 20 years. Yeah. But now you're going to see a whole new thing now. Because of Viagra, now you'll see a lot of different guys. Because now almost any guy can do it now. But the thing that's good is because of the fact that girls like Jenna Jameson or Christy Canyon or Brianna Banks or Jesse Jane or Tara Patrick, these girls are putting away millions of dollars. You know, Jenna's put away $17 million, supposedly, right? So the fact that these girls are making this kind of money, we're getting an amazing influx of women who are breathtaking, who are just absolutely gorgeous. They're dancers from all over the country who were a house dancer making $1,000 a week. They see these porn stars come into their club and make many thousands a day. They go, well, I could do that. And then they go to California. They make a few movies, along with girls from Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary.
Yeah.
You know, they come to L.A. to make films. They're breathtaking. But it's just a beautiful crop of women, like just unbelievable.
Ron Jeremy, thanks for spending a little time with us here in St. Louis.
Buddy. Hey, guys, thank you, and thank you, girls, for those cute questions.
Look at that.
And if you ever want a job,
call me, Ron.
We've tried. They won't take it.
You have to admit, the guy has an engaging quality. He's very, very charming. And he's not stupid. He's very well-spoken. But boy, does he look like shit now. And I know he's got a lot of legal troubles. He's been in jail. They'll make a movie about him someday. I guarantee it. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, March 12th, 2024 is in the can. We are here every Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m., roughly, give or take a couple of minutes, at jcontheline.com. And if you can spread the word, that helps too. You can reach me, JC at jcontheline.com, Facebook, the showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Enjoy this day today. Back in the morning on K-Wolf at 101.5 in St. Louis, 101.7 out west, and streaming at kwolf.com. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.